Congress is trying to be a good citizen this month by passing the easy bills first. It hopes to get some real work done before the arguing about the contention stuff. Well, that means it's tackling things like the construction budgets for Veterans Affairs and the Defense Department. Matt Hummer is a senior transportation analyst with Bloomberg Government. He joins us now with a look at construction and what it means for contractors. Matt, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Tom. Good to see you.
All right, so let's start with VA. What are the spending trends for Veterans Affairs for 2015, and you know, what does the department want, and what does Congress seem to want to give it?
VA is actually a special exception in the budget these days. It's one of the few areas that Congress can actually agree on providing more money. So what you see in VA is a slight increase from last year's level, and that trend has been continuing for the last couple levels as troop forces draw down overseas and we have to take care of our veterans back here at home. So what the VA really wants to do is pass through this backlog of projects that they have. And so this year you see, if you take a deep dive, that major construction funding is up versus minor construction, and that means they're going to be focusing on building these large new facilities.
So, yeah, so major construction is like you dig a hole or tear down something and make a new hole and for a new hospital?
In some cases, most cases, it's really projects that are over $10 million. And what that means is there's a process for approving those projects, and Congress also has to authorize that. So in terms of timing, they've gone forward in doing that. So that process is taken care of, and now the money's flowing. So it looks like a lot of these projects will be coming online.
And do we have some idea of the total dollars for VA construction in 2015 that they're agreeing on?
Sure. It's about $1 billion, and it could be a lot more because there's hundreds of projects in the backlog, but the problem is VA can only spend so much in 1 year.
And so it sounds like maybe wings. I mean, and Congress probably likes those because they can get their name on some of those wings.
That's exactly right, Tom. Well, if you dig down in the actual data, you see there's specific facilities in specific states. If you look at Maryland, it's one of the top award-winning states. You have Fort Meade there, some facilities in Annapolis, and then also you have Virginia. Surprisingly, the Pentagon's on there, and some facilities in Langley. And then, of course, California, another big state, in Hawaii, where there's a lot of troop forces. In Pearl Harbor, there's a big facility going to be coming online.
What about places like New York City? Do we have a picture there, or the district, for that matter?
Most of the facilities in New York City would be kind of more upstate. So I would look to more opportunities there.
Okay, so not so much New York City, but New York State outside of New York City.
That's correct.
And what are the types of contractors? Are they renovators or general contractors? I mean, who's likely to benefit here?
Well, Bloomberg actually takes a very close look at this. We put out a list of the top contractors in each market we cover. We just released a product called the BGov 200, which lists the top federal contractors. But if you look at this market, you see companies like HDR, CH2M Hill, AECOM, Parsons, URS, some of these big contractors that have great relationships with the DOD that are actually able to do a lot of work even overseas. Because if you look at the military construction side of things, you see that about 30% of the work is in unspecified international locations.
We're speaking with Matt Hummer. He's senior transportation analyst with Bloomberg Government. So let's switch over to the military. Now, the big issue for the military is that the leaders keep telling Congress we need a BRAC, a base reduction and closure, because of the reduction in troops and squadrons and so forth. Congress says, no, that's not going to happen. So what does the resulting construction picture look like?
Well, it doesn't look like a BRAC's going to happen anytime soon. And in fact, the Readiness Subcommittee of the House Armed Services just yesterday released a draft bill that they expect to approve today that contains language that would prevent that, citing concerns over the cost of a BRAC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically these are kind of big battles. The last round of BRAC was estimated to save about $15 billion. So going forward, what's really going to happen, it looks like, is there's going to be prolonged levels of lower funding around this range of the $6 billion for military construction. Not a lot of new facilities. And what happens once you're starting to maintain existing facilities, those funds start to come out of operation and maintenance and not military construction, because it's new builds versus maintenance.
So about $6 billion in construction for military in 2015, that's the number you're seeing?
That's right. That's what the House approved, and last year it was approved at around 10, so the difference is about $4 billion. If you look by agency, Army would take the biggest haircut in percentage terms, about 44%, followed by other non-military agencies, so that's known as defense-wide, about a 41% cut. Now, if you look at larger trends since 2010, defense-wide spending has been up versus military, or sorry, Army, which was about 40%. Now it's defense-wide, which is about 40%.
So what are they building with the $6 billion they have?
That's a great question. As an analyst, I look at this stuff all the time, and surprisingly, the top facility type is training facilities and then also aircraft maintenance facilities. I would guess that because aircraft maintenance facilities is more on the high-tech end. And then, of course, followed by your traditional builds, health centers, other kind of facilities for troops and that kind of stuff.
I imagine there's a lot of renovation maybe because some of these places are pretty old.
That's exactly right, especially on the military side, but more importantly on the VA side. They have some of these hospitals that are literally, they describe it as falling down, and they need these funds to manage these hospitals. And, you know, they're in a good position to get more money because it seems to be there's strong bipartisan support for that.
Right? So aircraft maintenance facility, to get to the military side, that to me sounds like a hangar. And the hangars I've seen look like, I don't know, Quonset, gigantic Quonset huts, that type of thing, is the same type of vendor that would do, say, a hospital wing, which is, you know, steel and sheetrock and what poured concrete floors and all of that, the same types of companies, the Parsons and so forth, that would also build hangars?
Yes, that's actually correct. And if you look at one company in particular, AECOM, which is one of the top contractors that Bloomberg has cited in its 200 report, they do the building of these facilities, but they also do the work to maintain the aircraft, surprisingly. So if you're a company...
That's vertical integration for you.
That's right. And they've kind of known this. They have relationships with the DOD to do this kind of stuff. So if you're a subcontractor, you're going to want to look to the companies that kind of have a full picture on a lot of this work.
Now, if you are on that top 200 list and you're doing federal construction contracting, you're going to be asked about your small business contracting plan, as will VA and DOD themselves. What about the small fry? There's a lot of small construction companies that are 8As or women-owned and so forth that also want a piece of the action.
That's exactly right. And a lot of these contracts that they're doling out, there's requirements for involvement in small business. And typically, a lot of the military facilities and DOD at large have been really good to holding the small business requirements. Looking at the data, you see some of the more or less advanced agencies like Army able to meet those requirements sooner or better than, say, the Navy, which is a lot of high-tech stuff where you tend to see a lot of, you know, the Lockheeds and that kind of stuff as big players there.
All right. So what about the reduction of overseas contingency operations money, which is coming down, and in theory, I guess, will end after next year?
Right.
There was hundreds of billions spent building buildings that probably will be abandoned or fall down in Iraq and Afghanistan. How does that affect the whole picture?
Right, yeah. Well, the OCO funding is definitely a big question. It's always been kind of that slush fund for DOD to do stuff that they need to in an ad hoc, high combat environment. And that's changing. You're right. DOD, they're going to need to make decisions on the assets they have overseas. That includes hardcore infrastructure, but also equipment. There's equipment just sitting idle, and in some cases, it may be more expensive to bring all that stuff back. And of course, if you have equipment, it's probably being stored in facilities as well. So, yes, some decisions need to be made there.
All right. So, is it? Would you say, on the whole, if you're in construction, is the federal market better, worse, or just a steady state going into 2015 and beyond?
Well, it's definitely worse because the top line number is coming down significantly. Contractors need to understand that the opportunities that used to exist in the military services, Army and that, are now switching towards defense-wide, so building education, health facilities, that kind of stuff. There's some opportunities in Special Operations Command and Defense Logistics Agencies. But more importantly, there's the VA, right? That is the white horse here that is going to attract the funding. The problem is Congress and the industry together need to work on ways to deliver projects faster.
And so, you know, there's long cycles to these things, design and build and so on. If you are a contractor, and here we are in May 1st, May Day of 2014, what should you be doing to try to get some 2015 fiscal business at this point?
Well, actually, Bloomberg government provides this type of information to our clients, and we kind of look at trends, and the Defense Department puts out projections of what they're going to spend in future years. And so we've kind of done an assessment of that data showing that in the future years through 2019, the plan, DOD's plan, is to really ramp up spending for these health facilities and education facilities here in the U.S., but also internationally.
All right, so there's, as you say, the white horse is VA, really. That's the place to look if you want, not get rich, maybe, but at least to have some, keep your people employed.
Right, the steady state of business. And with VA, they're pretty transparent on the type of facilities they have. You can take a look at all the leases that I mentioned that have been approved by Congress, so that means a lot of that work will be coming online. There's a couple of facilities up in Illinois and some others down in North Carolina. Like I said, there's some, if you look at what companies have relationships with VA, as a subcontractor, you would probably want to reach out with them to try to figure out how you can help deliver on this project.
All right, Matt Hummer is a senior transportation analyst with Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.